So Manoj, on this podcast, we're going to make it a little more personal because one thing you and I have talked about in the past is the challenges some people, a lot of successful people, have faced in getting to where they are. And sometimes nature, life, can throw some unexpected things at them. And there are some interesting stories out there, and I know in many cases people I've interviewed have had interesting stories where they've had to overcome some serious challenges to get to where they are. Simple example, the popular Hollywood actor Danny Glover, who was in the movies with Mel Gibson.
Lethal
Weapon series. He had 20 years of battling epilepsy. And I remember when I talked to him, he said, look, I reached a point where I was about to go on stage doing some theatre acting, and I started to feel a seizure coming on. And I decided at that moment that either it was going to control me or I was going to control it. And he said that way he's managed to get a handle on it and be able to control it. Richard Branson, famously, people talk about how, you know, the guy who became a billionaire and one of the top businessmen in the world battled dyslexia. In many cases, as you know, before really it was better understood, people always thought dyslexics were people who were stupid, which is actually not at all the case. It's simply a matter of perception of words, letters, and you know, also is perhaps impairs communication a bit. So I want to talk a little bit about something you and I talked about in the past, which is your battle with stuttering. I was at school with a friend, a very good friend at high school, who stuttered quite badly. And it was a challenge because, I mean, kids in school can be tough about it, and they, you know, they're not patient waiting for someone to finish the sentence. They're not particularly kind about it. Tell me about the experience you went through. So first, how you basically coped with stuttering when it started in your life.
Riz, thank you. That was that's quite an interesting story. So I grew up with a very bad stutter. And that stutter was caused because I was left-handed and I was asked to switch to being right-handed. And effectively, I think, forced into using my right hand. And effectively, I believe that has a neural impact. And what transpired out of that, which I didn't realize until much later, was that I developed a significantly bad stutter. And when I went off to boarding school, the age of 10, the first task I got was I was in charge of waking up my entire house. I had to knock on the door of 52 rooms or something and start at 6:50 in the morning, and I would be done. I was supposed to be done by 7 a.m. But due to my stutter, I'd be done by about 7:20 or 7:25. So we'd have the entire house wake up late, and we'd be late for our school's assembly or meditation, as it was called. And I literally, my job was to open the door, turn on the light and say, wake up. And the words wake up would take me anywhere from 5 seconds to up to a minute. And it literally came to the stage where I was probably the laughing stock of the entire house. I was blamed for everyone being late, for the entire house being late. In school, I was in school in Switzerland at Eglon College, and that was Belvedere House. And it was just interesting because I went through such a stage where it affected me. I was very nervous to speak. Our classes were very small. I refused to put up my hand too much because I was scared that I was not going to be able to get the words out. And I was quite an introvert. It was just a very hard thing.
Let me ask you, I mean, this is going back a few years, so kids are taught some degree of tolerance and understanding now, but how were the other kids? Were they cruel as such?
Actually, I will tell you, there was a lot of compassion flying around. So I think it was more my own perception, and I was so nervous that I was going to be asked a question in class. And at the same time, our class size was quite small, so there wasn't any pressure. I didn't feel any peer pressure or any negativity, but naturally I was known as the kid who had the bad stutter. So
it was all male?
No, it was a co-ed school. Yeah. So naturally I managed to get some sympathy as well, but still it was just I was very conscious of the fact that I had a stutter and that affected my ability to socialize and talk to people, etc.
How are the teachers in handling it?
So there's one man who changed my life, and God bless his soul, he's no longer with us. His name is Sven Larsen. He was in our house in Belvedere, one of the tutors there. He pulled me aside, and he was the one that gave me a lot of encouragement and told me that if I started reading out loud at night, he would give me at times some sheets of paper, and he would tell me to read in front of the mirror out loud, and told me to breathe deeply, and he said that I would be able to control it. And then what was interesting is one year we sat down, and I literally just asked him, and we used to have a annual reading competition in school, which was called the St. Andrew's Cup reading competition, where you had to get up and you would speak in front of the entire school. And I remember telling him that my dream is to be able to speak at that competition. And lo and behold, I must have been 15. Mr. Larsen and I sat down, and he said, I have a piece that I think is ready for you, which is suitable for you. And I said, excuse me? I mean, and I think even me replying to him took a long time as well, you know? So I sat there, and it was an interesting piece on somebody who had a really bad stutter and how he overcame his stuttering. And he said to me, look, this is your piece and this is your time. And I looked at him and I thought he was just a madman. I said, this man is going to, I mean, what is he trying to do to me? Is he trying to crush me? And he said, I have full confidence in you. So I didn't tell anyone. I practiced that by myself. I told one of my good friends, one of my very close friends from Turkey, actually, Alp Tashkent. He knew about this. And I sat there and I was reading this. And I just kept on reading it as much as I just kept on repeating it and literally just drilling it into myself. Lo and behold, we get to the St. Andrew's Cup reading competition. I went on stage and I could see a lot of people sort of smiling and I think snickering a little bit, saying, what is he doing up there? I mean, how is he going to, I mean, wow, this is supposed to, you know, end at a certain time. I mean, we could be in for quite a long time here tonight, you know. I did not concentrate on the crowd. I focused on the piece. I focused on what I had to say. I finished it in time. All I remember is, I don't remember much after that, but I sat down. And I remember my name being called out, that I had won the St. Andrew's Cup reading competition. And that was a turning point for me in my life, because that really demonstrated to me that something that I was so scared of speaking, I was so scared of approaching anyone, having a conversation with them, that I now managed to have it under control. And then following that, I got into the school debate. My topic was, is surrogacy a good thing? And I remember debating. I was with one of my good friends there, Raya Hamza, and we went out there and we won our debate. And it just made me realize the power of communication, the power of authentic communication. And what this also taught me was it improved my breathing techniques, my delivery. It was just very interesting that it just opened up a whole new world.
Public speaking obviously is nerve-wracking for youngsters at the best of times. I see my daughter, who's, you know, born and brought up in the USA. She tends to be in an environment in the US, there's a tendency to encourage public speaking. Growing up in Britain all those years ago, that was not really the case. So it was daunting to speak in public anyway, let alone trying to do it with some kind of challenge like a stutter. Did, after those experiences, the debating society and the reading out the essay about stuttering, did your stutter actually improve straight away? Or did you then have to take steps to kind of build on that?
My stutter is a work in progress. There are times today that it is still there. I realize is a combination of me putting my mind and focusing on what I need to say. At the same time, breathing is essential, and controlling how I breathe whilst I'm speaking is very essential, whether I will stutter or not. It's been a journey, because it was not something, I mean, it's something which I still have. I am very conscious of it. There are times that I have to just speak in a certain tone to slow it down, which then delays my stutter.
Now, it's funny, just a few weeks before this discussion we're having here right now, there was a fantastic piece on the BBC. I was listening on BBC World Service TV radio about the neurological mechanisms. And it's quite complex. It's quite a tough thing to deal with, actually, a stutter. Did you ever get any formal kind of therapy for it? Was there anything available that you could go to and say, look, you know, someone can teach me how to handle this?
I tried one institute or one class when I was in Calcutta in December 1991. I had gone for a friend's wedding, and I literally saw a sign on a lamp post or something that if you have a stutter, call this number. So I just took it and went there just to see it. Did not really appeal to me too much, and I found that when I literally went back and thought about the techniques that Mr. Larson had told me, which was just breathe very deep, read out loud, make sure that your voice comes from your stomach as opposed to your chest, and effectively just control your flow of oxygen coming in and out of your body. I found that seems to be the best tool that I've used.
So let me ask you, just being practical with this perhaps, to give advice to people who know someone who has a stutter. Like on the BBC, one of the things I recall, they said, well, you know, don't keep finishing sentences for the person. It kind of breaks the flow and doesn't help. What is the advice you'd give to someone who doesn't have a stutter but knows someone or is regularly communicating with someone who does?
So I see it as, I am very conscious, and because I have a stutter, I effectively allow people time. I don't rush anyone, and I appreciate it when I'm not rushed and my sentences are not finished. And I think it's basic awareness and just being sensitive.
Okay, now let's get some advice for those who might have a stutter and are looking for a path, some sort of guidance. What advice would you give them as someone who's managed to overcome it in such a well, you know, in such a good way?
Getting rid of a stutter is not as easy as taking a tablet, that you suddenly take a tablet and you suddenly wake up in the morning and you're absolutely fine. It requires perseverance, it requires dedication and focus. I made sure, it was very clear to me in my mind that I needed to communicate in life. And communication is essential in everything that I do. So I wanted to ensure that I was going to master that, and I wanted to make sure that I could give it the sufficient time. As you learn any skill in life, whether it's playing a sport, you have to put in so many hours in order to achieve success. It's the same thing here. I've got to be diligent about putting in the amount of time required to improve my stutter and get it to a level that, whilst it's still there, I control it versus it controlling me.
Do you find society and people are more understanding and more accepting?
I think today's world, one has to be. Back then, no. Back then, literally, I was probably the last person people would want to take into a study group or into a group, because they were like, oh my goodness, if we take him, we're going to be here all day. Right? So I think I'm more conscious of anyone that has this, that has a stutter. It's got nothing to do with their brain at all, with their impact or their IQ. I find that probably having a stutter has probably increased my EQ more than anything else. And as I said, Riz, there are times that I do stutter. And when I find that I do stutter, I literally just have to take a deep breath, calm down, and recalibrate. It's about recalibrating. In today's world, things move so quickly that I just have to literally just give myself a time out.
Well, it's a testament to your efforts that you're now doing a podcast.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.